I have my Bible open to 1 John chapter 2 for communion today. We will leave the book of Luke and consider a passage in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Also, you see it on the projection there in front of you. Hear the infallible and errant word of the living God. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I am writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. With these passages, John is providing an evidence by which we can know with assurance that we are truly walking in the light of the gospel message. Now, please don't underestimate the significance of these statements. Real fellowship and walking with God is marked by three things that John has covered here in these first early chapters. Two are given earlier in chapter 1, and I will just read those to you. The first one is an increased consciousness of sin. True Christianity is an increase in a consciousness of our sinfulness. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So an increase in a consciousness of sinfulness. And so as we come to this table today, did we earlier earnestly, with integrity, confessed our sinfulness to the best of our understanding and ability? That's a personal question each of us have to come to grips with. Now, actually, I read those backwards. I knew that didn't sound right. This one was obedience. Now, let me read the one of sin. I knew that didn't sound right. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. So let me try to regroup here. The two things that we have to know with assurance that we are walking in the gospel message, walking with Jesus Christ, is first the consciousness of sin, as I just read to you, and obedience, as I read to you earlier, and I apologize for the great confusion. Consciousness of sin and obedience. Now, the third evidence of assurance of salvation is what we read today, and that is that we have a genuine love for others. John wrote and preached endlessly about loving one another. If you truly walk with God, then there is a true love for one another. Again, a personal, reflective question for every one of us. Do we love? Not those that are lovable, Not those in our family alone, but do we love? And do we love unconditionally? If we have that capacity to love, then that's one of the leading indicators that we are truly walking in the gospel message. Now, John brings this point to us by speaking of the law. He says, I am writing you a new commandment, not a new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. So what is this commandment that John is giving us, this new commandment? What is he giving us? Well, let's ask Jesus to answer that question. And to get that, we go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, and I'll read it to you. Just sit still. This is a conversation Jesus had, and he's answering the question, what is that old commandment that he has given, or that we've had, and the new one that we will be given? But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great law commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all of the law and the prophets. So what is the old commandment they've had from the beginning? It is the great commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love neighbor. So in John's teaching, he knows he's saying nothing new. It is what they've heard all along. But then in verse 8 of 1st, we hear this. At the same time, it is a new commandment. All right, thank you, John. If Tim hasn't made this sermon confusing enough, here you are contradicting yourself. It's an old commandment you've had, but it's also a new one. It's also a new one. Now, while it seems it's contradicting, he is in fact revealing the true beauty of that old commandment. That true beauty of that old commandment. Let me run over here to John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. Jesus is calling it old. John's calling it new. Is it old? Is it new? There's a great debate in Christianity whether it's two commandments or is it one with two parts. Yeah, this is confusing. Well, it's both. It's both. It's old, and it finds its origin in the Levitical law. In Leviticus chapter 19 is where we first see that great commandment. But what is new is seen in these few words that we find in chapter 8. At the same time, a new commandment I am giving you that I'm writing to you, which is true in him. It's true in him, meaning the truth of the commandment is seen in him, in Jesus Christ. That's what's new. That's what's new. In the old Levitical law, loving was just taught and spoken of by the prophets, by Moses, by the teachers. But when Jesus Christ came, we now see that love of God being lived out. And see, again, that's what's new. Jesus is the incarnation, the coming to life of that which was old, but is now made new in him. This law was given to God to show his people the love he has for them. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that love. Back in the day, I gave a sermon citing the one of the greatest acts that we understand Jesus' love for us is him on the cross. Because he could have come down off that cross at any moment. But because he stayed, that said he loves you. He stayed. And that says he loves you. And that's the love of God being reflected out of this commandment, but in his love for his people. All right, now help us understand this a little bit more. We need to look at this word new. From the Greek perspective, this new takes on a little different meaning than what we have in the English. In the Greek, new doesn't necessarily mean new as in opposite of old. That since we have the new, the old one ceases to exist. No. The Greek concept of new means that the new is birthed out of the old. New is birthed out of the old. New comes from old. The new gives fuller meaning. The new gives fuller purpose. The new gives a fuller idea and meaning of that Old Testament teaching. It's just like an example. We have the New Testament, but does that mean the Old Testament goes away? Absolutely not. But the New Testament gives fuller meaning to the Old Testament. And here's the point. Jesus became human to give fuller meaning to that which was taught in the Old Testament. John said in verse 8 again, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing you, which is true in him." The fulfilling truth of the old commandment is seen in the new commandment. And who is the new commandment? Jesus Christ. But there's more. There's more. And this is the challenging part for us. Because if I continue reading on in verse 8 of 1 John, the truth of the commandment is seen in him. And then there's three more words. And in you. The new commandment is seen in the truth of Jesus Christ. And in you. And in you. The love of God expressed in the law, summarized by the great commandment, is seen in Jesus Christ and in you. And see, there's the challenging part. Jesus' perfection showed that perfect love. That's not me. But yet, what did the great commandment say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And to love the neighbor, your neighbor, as yourself. On these two commandments sits all the teaching of the Old Testament teaching. So we are to love each other just as we love God. You reveal the new covenant, the new commandment. You, the believer, are the expression of the love of God. You, the believer, reflect God's love to a world around you. Now, Jesus Christ is the complete materialization of God. He reveals God's love to his people. And we say, yes, he's God. But I am to do the same thing. I am to show that same kind of love. You are to show that same kind of love. Question. How are we doing? How are we doing with that? This is the true Christianity. This is the true Christianity, the new commandment of God being lived out by his people. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, but to love your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? You get this question all the time. Who is your neighbor? Anyone you meet. Anyone you meet. Please understand, this is moving past a mere knowledge of God. And this is what I was speaking to, it that the teaching ministries of the church must teach us the doctrines and the truth of the gospel message. But it has to move past just teaching. It has to turn into action. You see, love is not truly love unless it's acted upon. Love is not love unless it's acted upon. Jesus Christ could have said, "I loved you all day long and never gone to that cross, and it wouldn't have meant a thing." You can say, "Yeah, I love my neighbor," but you never do anything to show that neighbor you love them. Love is not love until it's acted upon. Remember Jesus' words that poor John repeated over and over and over and over. Love one another. How are we doing living out this true Christianity? And do we love one another at all costs? Challenging? Yes. But we can do this. We can do this. We can do it because of what we see represented on this table that Lathan so eloquently gave us. What Jesus Christ has done, and the Holy Spirit coming and bringing, imputing that word, imputing that love of God to us through salvation, then we are born into a new spirit. We're born into a new creature. And we can love. Is it difficult? Absolutely. Does Satan use that against us? Absolutely. Puts those unlovable people in our lives. Through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, as I've said, that we see in this table, and the Holy Spirit bringing that work of Christ to you and making that new creature, then you can fulfill this commandment. We can live up to this commandment, not in our own strength, but in the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said, "Let us love one another." And through what this table represents, we can. We can love one another. And that's what true Christianity is all about, loving one another.